there's just that pressure over their head that sort of, if you don't fall in line, that people can ruin your career.
Welcome to the Built on Results podcast, a series of conversations about the issues, the advocacy, and the wins on behalf of emergency physicians. Dr. Daniel Friess is an emergency physician in Hartford, Connecticut, and a member of the American College of Emergency Physicians Board of Directors. He says emergency physicians feel controlled by contracts with non-compete clauses, even though many employers agree the language doesn't apply to the way those doctors interact with patients. This is Episode 6. It's not a competition.
I don't know of any emergency physicians that are in favor of them. I'm sure they're out there. But overall, yes, it's a concept that doesn't really apply to emergency medicine. We don't have a book of business. We are not a cardiologist or a GI doctor that is sort of handed 1,000 patients that are proprietary to the hospital system, if you will, that they could then sort of steal away if they left. That doesn't apply to emergency medicine. We see everyone and every comer on a given basis. And so we don't work in a practice where we're holding on to patients or we have some proprietary knowledge that needs to be protected. We just see every comer at all times.
Is that the main argument then against having them for emergency physicians?
I'd say that's the primary argument. We just don't have a set of patients that are proprietary to anyone, or a book of business, if you will, which is a common term used in non-competes, even outside of medicine. But also, they're just restricting in patients' ability to practice. They get in the way of physician autonomy, physician decision-making, and interactions with physician staff and leadership, if you have that sort of hanging over your head.
Is this becoming a bigger issue?
I wouldn't say it's becoming a bigger issue, but it's an ongoing issue. And with consolidation of employers, it's sort of been harder to negotiate out. I am not someone who's done a lot of physician contracting in my career, but from what I've heard is when you had a lot of small groups and you have a lot of competing companies, it might be reasonable to go to them when you were taking a job and saying, hey, this is in here. It doesn't apply to me. Please take it out. And actually, believe it or not, most employers agree it doesn't apply to emergency medicine. But there's that slippery slope, as they'll say, where if they take it out of your contract, then the GI doctor wants it out and the cardiologist wants it out. So they really want it in all the time. So with consolidation, it's become a little more pervasive that we see these in contracts, whether or not they're enforced.
What has ACEP done to address the concern?
Well, I mean, they've worked on it both on the state level and the national level. ACEP as a whole has supported chapters in putting legislation forward or even defending current standards of legislation in state houses across the country and providing model legislation, model language, model testimony, and supporting all its physicians in fighting back against physician non-competes.
How do chapters fit into the solution?
Well, I think the chapters are the driving force. National politics is hard and long and a little more political in a way. Whereas in the state level, you have more personal relationships. You generally have a little more stable course of legislation and issues working their way through the legislature over multiple years, gaining attention, going in and out of attention, as opposed to the national scene where things can change overnight and be on and off the agenda overnight. So I think the state level is the driving force behind these efforts, because you can get a sustained effort, you can put together a plan over time, and you can see results. It's probably easier to get a state level bill passed than it is a national level.
Do you hear from your colleagues about non-competes?
Yes. I don't hear about them being enforced a lot. I hear about them more being this sort of passive tool of feeling controlled, especially with these large conglomerates of hospital systems, which are occurring now, and large national physician employment groups. People sort of feel that they're being used to pigeonhole people and control them, whether or not they'd really be enforced. There's just that pressure over their head that sort of, if you don't fall in line, that people can ruin your career by them being in there. So it's more of a passive than an active issue, but we definitely hear about people being scared about them and scared that they could be enforced.
Finally, how important is it for ACIP and its chapters to find a way to solve this problem?
I think it's very important. I mean, I think it represents our dedication to the individual physician, that really we're trying to make people have an open and transparent environment in their career as possible. We're advocating for the things that really matter to individual people. We can obviously do the giant policy things that help patients and fight against insurers, which help emergency medicine as a whole. But these are one of the things that really help individual physicians and make people more comfortable in their career, which arguably is as good as getting rid of boarding is making people feel valued and making people feel that they have options and that they're supported.
Every day from now until March 28th, we'll feature a different story about the work of ACIP and its chapters. We'll talk about advocacy wins and work still underway to make sure you can do your job. We kicked off the series on March 11th. You can listen to past conversations and read more about ACIP's work to address non-compete clauses in physician contracts by clicking the links in the show notes. There's also a website, acip.org/results. You've been listening to the Built on Results podcast, a production of the American College of Emergency Physicians. We're back tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.